Hey everybody, in this episode of Box Office Breakdown, Crazy Rich Asians takes the box office once again, but more importantly, tonight we say farewell to a legend.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Box Office Breakdown.
Hey everybody, welcome to Box Office Breakdown right here on Popcorn Talk. This is the show where we look back at the box office that was... And then we like to... About the box office that lie ahead, I'm Frank Moran.
And my name's Carrie Lane.
And my name is Amy Cassandra Martinez.
And my name is Neil Blumley.
And as always, making us look good and sound even better is Anthony in the booth.
I'm trying. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry. I know I don't have to put any effort with you guys. Y'all are beautiful people. I love all y'all.
Great. If you would have gone back 2 minutes ago, folks, you would have seen Tony melting down.
Yeah.
Trying to you drive me crazy tonight.
Right. As always, folks, you can like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. While you're there, give it a thumbs up. Or 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. However many thumbs you can get doing there. And you know, we've got the chat up and running, so feel free to chime in and share your thoughts about the box office or anything in movies you'd like to talk about.
Chime.
But, Carrie... If they're watching this after we've streamed live, what can they do?
You can all comment down below.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes.
Now, we're going to be breaking down the box office, as we usually do, talking about our box office bet and whatnot. But right up top, folks, you know, there's going to be just like a little sadness laced throughout the show because this is Neil Plumley's last in-studio show. Neil Plumley, spreading his wings and flying east.
I'm flying east.
Like an eagle.
For the winter.
Oh. And for a while after that.
Almost no bird does that. This will be the first documented instance that a bird like me flies east for the winter.
That's true. Neil's bones are incredibly hollow.
It's true.
Yes.
A strong breeze and I travel quickly.
He's actually being anchored down right now.
Yeah. They have me tied down. I can't quite get out of it.
This AC is no joke for him.
It's fine. We're all good.
And while this may be the last time he's joining us in studio, at least for the foreseeable future, that does not mean that he will not still be involved in some capacity with the show.
That's right, Frank. We have plans to keep me involved as much as possible, but I will not be in the state of California after this weekend coming up.
And by that you mean forever. You're no longer allowed back in California once you leave.
Like yes, I'm fleeing a legal battle with the city of Los Angeles.
Ah, fantastic. Well,
just keep it between us, guys.
Yeah. Don't tell anyone. Especially don't tell that jewelry store on 34th Street.
But without any further ado, let's jump into this week's top five. Starting off number one, as I mentioned at the top of the show, Crazy Rich Asians came in strong for number two for a second week there. $25 million.
Let's talk about how strong that second week was compared to the first week. Oh, there was like the drop was under 6%. That's, I don't think I've seen that in quite some time.
No, it's incredible. There's a lot of repeat viewing, a lot of, you know, families going to see this, a lot of you know, elderly Asian Americans as well going to see this as well.
I forget the movie they compared it to, but they're like it was something that there hasn't been a romantic comedy that's done that well in a while, regardless of the cast. If anybody knows what that is, it was on Twitter and I saw that post, but I did not notice.
That's a romantic comedy.
Which one?
Titanic.
Kramer versus Kramer.
Yeah,
I love that.
That did real well in its
Yeah, but either way, the idea of a romantic comedy, regardless of the cast, so that's even more exciting, has not done that well in the box office in a very long while. So, go with them.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, Neil Plumley, you ended up seeing it last Sunday in lieu of letting everyone see your handsome face.
It's true. We had plans, my wife and I, to see the movie beforehand. She is Asian, so seeing it on opening weekend was mandatory for our household. That being said, we had planned to see it early in the day, but MoviePass was being MoviePass.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we don't have money right now because we're moving. Mm-hmm. So, it had to be done with MoviePass so that we had to get a later show. The only later show was at the same time that we were recording here, so sort of had to do it. I apologize.
You could have Skyped in right from the theater as you were watching.
Hey, I'm here. Watch the movie right now. So far, it's great.
Let's go back to Neil for an update. Neil, what's happening right now?
It's just so beautiful. They have water in the aisle.
It was an impressive that was an impressive wedding.
It was. There. It really that you know the movie I loved overall. I really did. I thought it was really funny. Oh my god, Awkwafina had me in stitches.
What?
Like the whole time. Anytime she was on screen, she's like, ah! I was like, you get me. Just like how she just says like, well, I love it. She's so funny. But the moment that really stuck out to me, I will say the setup for it. It was the sort of tense character to mother. Interaction that they had over a game of Mahjong at the end.
Mm.
The setup for it,
yeah.
I thought, was a bit weak because it just sort of like started with her, with the mom like crossing the street and you're like, who is that? Also, where are we? And then she comes up to the building and you're like, okay, it's her, but what's she doing here? Okay, it's a Mahjong, like, I don't know, den? I don't know, area?
Mm-hmm. Tournament.
Door? Tournament?
No.
And then she walks in and parlor. Then, in parlor. Thank you. And then you see our main character, and you're like, oh, now I understand what's happening. So that, up to that point, I was like, what is this? But from that point forward, I thought that entire scene was fantastic. And even that little bit when she's leaving after her big reveal and her big speech and everything, you're like, ooh, that was so good. Good for you, girl. And then she's walking out, and then she grabs her mom, who's been sitting there the whole time, and she just turns and delivers this, like,
yes, that this, like, glare, up and,
this
shade.
Up and down look. I was like, oh, okay. The only thing I can compare that to is what I was raving about months ago from what was that circus movie with Hugh Jackman?
I forget. Greatest Showman.
Greatest Showman. I was raving about Greatest Showman because Zendaya had that look during This Is Me with Zac Efron. That is what I compare it to. I was like, that sort of like disdain, like, what
daggers.
Are you? Like, come on.
Daggers.
I was like, yes.
Love so that. I found the movie. It was Trainwreck. Thank you, the chat, and I found it. So
really?
Crazy Rich Asians is the highest money-making rom-com since Trainwreck.
Interesting.
Which was 2015, which made $30 million on its first 3 days. So it's been 8 years since a rom-com has dominated the box office.
What the heck?
I know.
There's a moment right towards the end of the film where, as we said, our main character and Michelle Yeoh, they have this kind of, they kind of lock eyes for a second. And then the scene's edited really weird because you see Michelle Yeoh kind of walk away and you think it's going to be, they're going to have a moment or something. But then it just like, so I was like, what's going on? I thought that was a little poor editing in that end. So now the movie's terrible, guys. Don't go see it. It's awful. There you go. So I liked the movie up until that point and then that totally soured me on the whole experience.
I was about to say, I do remember that.
The whole experience?
Yep.
Wait, really?
I don't know. You need a Snickers, man.
Wait, are
that's
you serious? You're not
serious. I mean, in a sense, think about it, though. You know, like, he's like watching a movie that's almost like a perfect game in baseball and it just takes one guy to hit the ball to really like ruin the whole
game. That's right.
Yeah,
it's, you know, it retroactively is awful.
No, don't
encourage
him. If
you're listening on iTunes, all the rest of the panel are all rolling their eyes.
It's just his opinion.
That's right. That's right, Anthony. There's a reason that I like you. That's for moments like this.
No, it's not his opinion. He's trolling us.
He's also trolling us. I didn't realize that.
Yes.
I fell into his trap.
That's okay. Okay.
Never. So don't go see Crazy Rich Asians, guys. Don't do it. It's a terrible movie.
See it again.
Coming in at number two is The Meg, another $13 million. That's another bad movie.
No.
Another little nibble out of the box office.
Yes.
It's a good bad.
Let's talk about film number three, though, the film that was also the subject of our box office bet.
Ooh, we were all a bit off on that one.
Yes, well, I shot for the moon.
Except for Amy.
It was The Happy Time Murders from STX. And I bet I lost this bet. I ate it big time. I went $21 million. I shot for the fences on this one.
I went really
It came in at a little over $10 million.
Yep. Wait, why am I doing that?
That's right.
Because it is a little bit like,
luckily,
there we are.
It sounded better.
We liked your impression, though.
Yes.
Yeah, good job.
I appreciate it. Yeah.
Who needs a soundboard when you've got Anthony in the booth?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we got Wellington in the chat says, loved it.
Oh, Wellington, I'm so sorry. That was a rough watch. I went and saw it this weekend. Woo, baby. That's a stinker. That's a rough. Yes. The only part that made me laugh, and it was more just because I know how much Carrie enjoyed that scene in the trailers, was when the puppet is having sex. And as Carrie, how would you describe? What happens at the end?
Blows his load.
That's right. Yes. But jizz is everywhere, yeah. As Carrie, which maybe tickled me to no end last week because she described that scene. That's the only part that made me laugh. I was like, ah, I guess I wonder if Carrie would like this full scene in its entirety. But that was it. That was
is it longer in the trailer?
You know, I have
or
not,
longer no, from the trailer?
No, it's about the same. Yeah. What the? Okay. I did see it, too. So, wait, did you guys see it?
Heck no.
I don't okay. really have plans to see it, sadly.
I'm not going to waste my time.
All right, fine. I'm the one who's very particular in my comedy. So, but I thought it was funny. There are a lot of funny moments, but the overall pacing, I don't know like what scene I would have cut, but it could have been tightened up.
It was already like an hour and 30 minutes.
It just felt like, oh, okay. Like, I didn't notice so much during, but after it was like, oh, yeah, I could have moved along a little faster. I thought, some of the funny moments were really funny. Stay after it ends, because they do a really fun sequence like that. That almost made it even like better. Is they show all the green screen of how they did the puppets, and then they have like bloopers too of something goes wrong and whatever the voice actors are saying or something was just really funny. Like for example, the sex scene, they have something of like, "What happened? You break?" or something like that, and it was just that was very entertaining.
For somebody who likes to stand through the credits, I actually left. As soon as those credits went, I was like,
oh, did you not watch that at all?
Then?
The behind the scenes was so good, though.
And I feel no absence in my soul for having missed it. I can't believe I missed that end credit stinger.
Harrison in the chat says, Team America better than Happy Time Murders.
Agreed.
Team America I did think was funny. Oh, Wellington says, the candy Coke was pretty funny. Like, candy is a drug, essentially, for them.
Right.
It is definitely absurd. It's definitely bizarre, but there's some good funny parts in it. He's all, nope.
How's McCarthy? Standout performance, maybe?
How's what?
Melissa McCarthy?
You know, I don't normally like her, but I thought there were parts in this she was actually pretty funny. Some of her physical comedy's like, eh. But some of the one-liners and back and forths. And then I'm also sitting there going, oh, these actors are talking to a puppet. It's awesome because of like having to be committed that it's not a person. And so, that was fun. I normally think she's kind of, did you think she was funny at all?
This is a role where she's not the annoying character that she plays.
Oh, good.
More often than not. Yeah. So she was less irritating. And she does have a fun fight scene with a bunch of puppets where she kicks a bunch of butt.
Mm-hmm. That was kind of entertaining. But then in the behind the scenes, you see at least one of the puppets was a person inside of it. Like they showed them getting set up. And I'm like, because that one was a big one too. So it's cool to see that it was a human being inside. So anyway, it's definitely not for everybody, but I thought it was entertaining.
The plot, if you've seen any sort of kind of murder mystery or pop
like a noir, I thought it was kind of surprising though in terms of it wasn't exactly who I expected.
Really?
Yeah. I knew kind of one of it, and then it does and doesn't, but then the real ultimate, I go, I wasn't thinking about that. Were you? Okay.
Yeah. So, that was a rough watch. It's been a while. But still,
it's not even necessarily super raunchy comedy the whole time, too. Like, What's the movie at reference? The leg crossing.
Oh, from Fatal Attraction.
They have a Basic Instinct scene, but with a puppet. And that was very funny. And then the office scene, but anyway.
Yeah, they actually have Stanley from The Office as well. He plays the lieutenant.
Oh, no way.
He was funny.
Oh, great.
But it also just felt like, as funny and charming as he was in The Office, you know, for his little bits, having him here, it also just felt like, I don't know, it made it feel like, it's just like a TV movie. Mm. I don't know, it just didn't quite elevate it. It's like, all right, this isn't that, you know, important of a film. It's just Stanley. I don't know, I felt bad, right? Because I was like, all right, this doesn't really seem that important to me anymore.
We love you, Stanley.
That's true. Go back to Dunder Mifflin. I will enjoy you tremendously. I will watch you again in many episodes of The Office. I will not watch you again in The Happy Time Murders.
Well, you won't watch it again.
No, that's for sure. coming to number four, Mission Impossible Fallout, another $8 million. Look at that is just continuing.
That's also a pretty shallow drop.
It is a fun film.
It looks like everything had a good weekend except for the Happy Time Murders.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about that. Let's, we'll mention that as soon as we run out our top five. And that was with Disney's Christopher Robin. That had another $6.3 million. There you go.
That's silence, though.
And that'll do it.
We have an important question from the chat.
Yes.
Tanya says, Frank, was it worse than Boo, a Madea Halloween?
No, I was about to mention that still.
That's a very low bar.
Yeah. That is a, this goes up just slightly above it.
Okay.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. Oh, so we're getting real close to really bad.
Yeah, it was a rough watch.
Is it really that bad? Dang.
No, you know, I would say, I'd put like, if you put like Boo with an absolute dead bottom, right. I would put Happy Time Murders, you know, maybe.
Like there's 100 notches above Boo 2.
Yeah, let's leave room for people to really get in.
Is it 7 or 4?
10.
I'd put it probably 10. I get 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Reasonable.
So
that's a 1 out of 10.
That's 1 out of 10, everybody.
It's another letter grade.
That's 0.5 out of 5.
Hey.
So Happy Time Murders had a long production gestation there. It mm-hmm. had gone through various actors trying to star. And at one point, it had Katherine Heigl was going to be attached to it.
Oh, really?
Which
would be a different kind of movie.
I don't know if I guarantee would have liked it a lot less.
Let's be pleased that she wasn't in the movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then there was going to be Jamie Foxx and eventually ended up with Melissa McCarthy. So for that. But also the fact that neither of them, Melissa McCarthy nor...
Katherine Heigl, Jamie Foxx.
Not Jamie Foxx.
Stanley. Heigl.
No, oh my gosh, I'm blanking on her name. Who played the other head of the in the TV show? The other.
Oh yes, yeah.
Wait, in the Office.
There you go. Who directed Pitch Perfect 3?
Yeah, she was
Elizabeth Banks.
Elizabeth Banks. Thank you so much. She did Pitch Perfect 2.
She was funny in it.
There you go. No, she wasn't. No, but neither of them did any promotion for the film as well either.
Oh, no press tours.
Yeah, I mean, they both were supposedly working on other productions, but
it's
also been said that if it's that important, you can still find time in your production schedule to get back in to promote.
They should have had puppets do the tour.
Yeah. That would have been... Well, they did. They had the installations in L.A., the Happy Time Murders, where you could go and... into a bar place that was all puppets.
But well, I mean, like, they should have had, like, a puppet on, like, Kimmel.
Yeah, that would have been
and
fun.
Be like, okay, so you're a puppet, and you're here talking about the Happy Time Murders, and you're like, yeah. And he'll do his thing.
Yeah.
That would have been really good.
Well, it would have been, like, kicking around since 2008, and it really was the success of Ted that kind of...
That one was really fun.
I thought that was more successful than this was.
But it does help if you like Flash Gordon.
Yeah, it really helps if you like Flash Gordon. Or stupid humor around Flash Gordon.
True.
Yeah. But, I mean, this one does have a puppet ejaculating tremendously.
Sure.
But the behind the scenes is them with, like, a... Whatever...
Like a turkey baster?
No.
No. The,
spray cans.
String.
Yeah. So it's somebody, like... That's funny too.
Well, the production also had, again. The production was also played by a lawsuit by PBS, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Or HBO, actually, because HBO owns Sesame Street now.
Yeah.
And they tried to sue the production because of misrepresentation of puppets, and they're like, "Well, you don't own puppets."
Mm-hmm.
So they lost the lawsuit, but I remember that. I remember that came up.
Yeah, losers. They should not have even bothered with that. Those legal fees for that, because at no point am I associating this, even though it's Brian Henson directing this. At no point am I going, well, I'm never watching Sesame Street again because of this movie.
Right.
No, they were totally fine.
My 2-year-old's going to watch this movie and never want to talk to Big Bird again. No, that's not what's going to happen. No.
This just in, Sesame Street's ratings have dropped dramatically.
Oh, no.
I can't believe the ratings fell.
Jumping quickly over to international numbers, Ant-Man and the Wasp headed into China this weekend. It winged another $68 million to its box office total there. Wow, it was the fourth best MCU opening ever in the market and also the third highest of the year for a Hollywood movie in China.
That's great.
There you go. It takes the worldwide total for Ant-Man and the Wasp up to $544.1 million and the international box office total to $332.6 million with Japan yet to come.
Wow.
Kind of a late start on those Eastern markets, but I guess it's paying off because that's not a bad show.
No, not at all. And I know that for at least for China, they had like a little summer break for a lot of the big films. So.
Oh, gotcha.
They must love Paul Rudd now.
That's true. The Meg continues to show its teeth outside China as well, crossing $300 million overseas and $400 million worldwide. This weekend was worth $32.7 million in 65 markets, and it stayed number one in 17 of those markets over from last week. It has basically now taken over Rampage's spot as the top 2018 across Latin America for Warner Brothers.
Good.
There you go.
Good.
I think I would rather watch Rampage again. If I had to choose between these films, Rampage or The Meg,
yeah,
I think I'd rather watch Rampage again.
Yeah. I don't know. Look, if I'm picking between Dwayne The Rock Johnson and a shark, I'm going to pick a shark.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd pick The Rock. Yeah.
I felt like and we talked about this last week, I felt like it could have been bloodier, more crazy, and I felt like Rampage at least delivered more of the bonzo craziness stuff that you'd want, and total bonkersness.
You also get three monsters, not just one.
Very true.
One.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but the Meg is the size of like eight monsters.
True.
So,
but it's just stuck in the water.
If we're talking about monster mass in total.
I don't think that Meg was. It was not bigger than that alligator in the Rampage.
Nah.
I think that I think the Meg was smaller.
Yeah.
The Meg. I just felt like the Meg was not as big as I wanted it to be. Yeah. Did you feel it was the Meg was appropriately sized?
Oh, yeah. This is me talking without having seen either of those movies.
Oh, all right. But I
full clearance. This is a BS opinion.
Elsewhere, Crazy Rich Asians hit its first Southeastern Asian market. It got $6 million there and 18 markets over there. In Singapore and Malaysia as well, where it had the biggest openings ever for a romantic comedy.
Yay!
And Incredibles 2 has now got over $1.1 billion worldwide to move into the 19th slot on the all-time chart.
That's amazing.
And Billy, in the UK, Billy. That's right. In the UK, it's the second biggest animated release ever.
What's the first?
Wait, let me guess. Toy Story 3.
Close.
Toy Story.
Black Cauldron, everybody. We all
know. Of course. Of course.
That's right. Black Cauldron. Everybody loves a good Black Cauldron reference. So now we have two films coming out for your hot box office bet vote. You know, whether they're going to be as hot as the Happy Time Murders, who knows?
You got to be hot. Try.
That's true. Those are Apparition Finale with... Huh?
Apparition.
Apparition Finale.
It's a ghost story about Nazis.
That's right. It's with good old really? Oscar Isaac and Ben Kingsley.
These two. Come on.
That's right.
Oh, snap.
They're such good actors.
They're hunting down... Yeah, interesting, because they're hunting down Ben Kingsley, who plays a... Nazi that they're finding in South America, bringing him back for trial.
But considering bringing back for Schindler's the old Nurembergs.
That's right. And then we also have Kin, a sci-fi action film from Lionsgate.
So I just learned about this movie today.
As did I.
I was like, I haven't heard about it.
I saw a trailer for it, but I can't remember what it's about for the life.
Yeah, it's a trailer about the kid who finds a futuristic gun in a... factory or warehouse, and then
that looks really cool.
The brother has bullies
again.
And the little brother's like,
yeah,
leave my brother alone, and he shoots his gun off.
It looks cool for like YouTube Red.
yeah, I'm a sucker for sci-fi.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, I mean, I gave Valerian a try, and I freaking loved it. So, not a lot of people say that because they're turned off by the acting and the chemistry between the two actors. But overall, it was a very fun movie. It was a very fun movie.
Well, this is another one where, same thing, Darkest Minds. I remember seeing ads for it a long time ago. And now that it's actually out, I'm like, what was it called again? And then you describe it and go, oh, yeah, I saw the ads for that like months ago that I totally forgot about it. So it's like, where have they been in resurgence of their advertising campaign?
I mean, I saw the poster for Kin today when I was putting the stuff together, and I did not recognize that poster at all. Like, I have not seen this. I haven't seen a trailer for this. When I found out Dennis Quaid was in the movie, I was like, really? Oh, well, look at that.
Oh, the old Quaid.
And James Franco. So I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, well, I mean, that doesn't really hold as much class to Dennis Quaid. Dennis Quaid.
And not per our list, but Tony, when were you saying? You said Searching was limited theaters. Soon?
Yeah, I believe it was limited right now. Mm-hmm. I've only saw it in one AMC and two arc lights, Hollywood and Sherman Oaks, and then I believe it's supposed to be more widely released this weekend, but don't quote me on that. You should check that out.
That is an accurate quote.
Well, on Twitter, they were doing it was either hashtag Asian August or August Asian, because Crazy Rich Asians and Searching coming out.
And To All the Boys I've Loved Before on Netflix.
Is that good?
Well, I really liked it, and a lot of people agree with me. A lot of people don't.
That doesn't surprise me.
So mean.
So that tells me nothing.
I loved it. I don't care what people say. I freaking loved it. Whatever.
Thanks for that take.
Yeah.
You're acting very defensive.
Yeah, well, because I really love it. I've seen it
twice. None of us are fighting you on it.
No, but I feel it. Yeah. I feel it. But I know, Frank, you would love this movie.
All right.
I thought it looked fun. I just hadn't gotten around to seeing it because I'm...
I think you'd actually really like it.
I have a lot going on.
Yeah. I think you'd really like it.
I think I would, too.
Yeah.
I have to admit, had I not known what you thought of this film, I probably would watch it. But now that I know you like it so much, I doubt I'd like it.
Well, she defensively likes it, which is sort of off-putting.
Yeah, right? It's weird.
Why?
So like, I like it. No, I don't care what you say. Okay, well, maybe I don't want to watch it now.
There's a lot of people that really love it, just like I do.
Right.
And they're, you know, slightly younger than us, if that tells you anything.
Wow. Okay. All right. Sounds great.
If you like a thriller and Searching is in your theater nearby... Do highly recommend that.
Yeah, go watch. A lot of people have said it's so good.
It's a really good thriller.
I'm dying to watch it.
I've been hearing some very intriguing things in form of reviews for Searching. Like, it's like a brand new way of storytelling that's been perfectly executed. And I'm like,
yes.
These are like each one's completely different, but they're all extreme claims about how this is completely different from normal cinema. And I'm like, okay.
We talked about it a little bit back when I saw it in May. Because the whole movie is told through screens.
Right, yeah, yeah.
But it doesn't feel weird, because how much do we watch screens all day? Mm-hmm. So it's very seamless on how it transitions on that.
You're telling me.
It's so good.
But it looks like it's a completely different way from, because there's a few movies that are told only on screens, Unfriended and...
yeah.
Unfriended 2.
The Dark Web.
And mm-hmm. But those are, how can we... make the webcam the camera angle. And this looks like it's directing your attention to smaller parts of the screen. Like it has him video chatting with someone while he's looking up a YouTube video of the mm-hmm. cop that he's talking to. And so it gives you almost a 24, how they did that split screen thing.
Yep.
Where you see some backstory on her while he's talking to her. And I'm like, that is super well thought out and not at all... a lot of other, this is a screen movies. So it looks super interesting. I'm very eager to see it.
Go watch my interview on Popcorn Talk, Los Angeles Asian Pacific Film Festival. Talk to the director about that, of, their filming techniques.
Fantastic.
Shameless self-plug.
It wasn't really that shameless.
Nice. Well, I was going to say, one more movie coming out, because I'm going to talk about horror movie news if I get to see it, is Stree. It's a Indian horror comedy, and it comes out on the 31st. And it looks really darn cool.
I heard Indian horror comedy, and I'm already stoked.
It looks really good. I'm I have to get the trailer. I'm trying to get Tony to watch it,
too. Don't look at me like that, Frank. Mm. You feel it.
Yeah, I feel like you're just trying to brand on the character. There you go. But studios, I know a lot of studio executives and marketing departments for many of the major studios watch this show. Because we tastemakers. And so if you need somebody to kind of get out front and really promote your film, look no further than Amy Cassandra. She will really... she'll really get people really to come to your film.
Mm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. A lot of people like it. A lot of people don't. Check it out.
But I like it.
Guys, they're just
making fun of
you because they love you.
That's fine.
The quote of the day right there.
And then back to Searching, the other thing on it is the director's Indian. So, it's, and the producer, I forget what he is, but non-white, and then main character. So,
wow.
All right. So, folks, we're getting ready to do our box office bet, so feel free to start chumming away in the chat and place your vote for either Kin or Operation Finale.
I'm so excited for both of these.
Absolutely.
I know, both
equally
these
excited for both of them.
Well, I did want to add that Zoe Kravitz is in Kin. And to me, I really like her. That's it. Period. Fine. Whatever, guys.
I like it's dot, 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 quiet.
Zoe
Kravitz?
Yeah, show me.
She's in Big Little Lies.
Oh,
she's
Lenny Kravitz's
daughter.
Yeah. Okay.
She's amazing.
Again, Dennis Quaid.
I know Lenny.
Dennis Quaid too, yeah.
So before we do that, though, we're going to do our little box office rewind.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And take a look at somebody that's going to be in one of these upcoming films. And for that, because, you know, Anthony just mentioned him, we got to do Dennis Quaid.
Who's better than Dennis Quaid?
A few are.
Zoe Kravitz.
Very few.
The Quaidster.
So his top five, coming in at number five for him, Legion from 2010. That made 17.5.
That was Paul Bettany.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That was cool.
I haven't seen that. I kind of wanted to.
It was cool.
Yeah, that old lady scene. I saw that. It was wild.
Yeah.
Number four, A Dog's Purpose, came out last year from Universal. 18.2.
Puppers.
Oh, yeah. Super Tear Fest.
Doggos.
That trailer made me bawl my eyes out. I'm like, I can't see this movie.
Agreed.
Number three, Vantage Point from Sony back in 2008. $22.8 million.
Ooh, I was really excited to see that movie, and then it did not turn out as good as I thought it was going to be.
Which one? Was that the one where it's like the four views?
Yeah,
they...
there's a bombing somewhere at like a political rally.
That was good.
With Matthew Fox and with stuff.
And then they like... They play out the scenario, and then they play out the scenario from someone else's perspective from the beginning, which is an interesting way to tell a story, but it was sort of, it could have been tightened up a little bit more, because it was like, okay, now we're going to begin. It was like four people.
Mm-hmm.
So it was almost like there's four acts in the movie, and I was like, it sort of feels like a loose structure. I didn't really dig it.
I know this one, Neil dug tremendously. That was G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra.
Oh, my God. They rose. The Cobra.
2009, $54.7 million.
They're like, Cobra's here. Never fear. Or always fear.
The, I don't know, I feel like my...
I think I saw that one.
Yeah, it's like, the first G.I. Joe film, better than it had any right to be. The second one was kind of eh. And then the third one, with when they brought in Bruce Willis and The Rock.
Wait, there's a third one?
Wait. Is it only two? Just G.I. Joe and then G.I. Joe Retaliation.
Okay, yeah. I was about to say, wait.
Are you thinking
minute.
Expendable?
Yeah,
that's right. Bruce. There's always going to be. So I think Bruce Willis is in Retaliation. He plays the original G.I. Joe.
I think Rise of Cobra was the first one.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that one, like you said, had it was better than it had right
and
right
one,
to be.
Yeah.
Not going
to lie.
Good action.
I liked the
super suits?
The super suits. Because I was like, that's the technology that they're talking about at the moment when they made the movie. And it actually made them more like superheroes, more like the G.I. Joes that we saw like in the cartoons. So I was like, I like this. And then, you know, Retaliation, they're like, nah, let's bring in The Rock. Because he can actually do these things. But I liked how, who was it? One of the Wayans boys, was it Marlon?
Marlon, yeah.
I think it was Marlon Wayans. And he was just like running through the city and just like running into things. I was like, this is... so much fun.
I really like the Snake Eyes fight scene. With his counter, like counter opponent, his like arch nemesis. I forgot his name. But yeah,
Shadow.
Yeah, I grew up like with a Snake Eyes toy, so that was very special for me.
Storm Shadow.
Well, I always felt like, because like Ray Park, after he played Darth Maul, there was like, oh, maybe he's going to play Iron Fist in an Iron Fist film. And that never happened.
Wouldn't that have been great?
But I was like, oh, yeah, he never really gets a chance to do anything. And then he gets Snake Eyes. And then I get another role where he doesn't speak.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't really use his voice at all in that. And you don't see his face. Yeah. He just does his thing.
What if he just like sounds like, he just sounds like this. That's why he never talks.
Like the least amount of makeup with the most amount of speaking roles I can think for him is from X-Men. When he played Toad.
Yep.
Oh, he's Toad?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He even had a callback to when he played Maul, because there's that bar separating the elevator doors where he kicked in Storm, and then he picks the bar up and spins it around and flips it behind his back and does the whole stance thing. And he's like, ah. I'm like, you're Darth Maul, buddy.
Hey, what happens to hey guys, what happens to a Toad when it's struck by lightning?
Yeah, it's the same thing that happens to anything else.
Yeah, pretty much.
He gets struck by lightning.
That's right. Joss Whedon says that line would have been much better if Halle Berry would have delivered it in a more funny fashion.
How he wanted it to.
Yes.
More funny.
Yes.
I think it would be funnier if Toad delivered it, because his tongue was all out and he'd be like, oh, thank you, happy here she is. You're right.
And coming out for, number one for Dennis Quaid, The Day After Tomorrow from Fox, 2004, $68.7 million.
You know, I just rewatched that movie like 4 months ago. So pretty recently.
How's it hold up?
And it holds up. It straight up holds up.
Nice.
As like a disaster movie, I don't think you could do much better being made in like the mid to late 2000s.
Little Roland Emmerich, man, bringing it in.
Bringing it home.
Mm-hmm. Would you rather watch that or 2012?
Oh, definitely Day After Tomorrow. Definitely Day After Tomorrow. And I know that it's...
Yeah. 2012 was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know that it's technically a worse movie, but I really enjoy The Core.
Is it bad? I've been wanting to see that still.
I think it's really great.
I want to watch
But it. I know that it's technically worse than Day After Tomorrow. But after watching Day After Tomorrow, I'm like, okay, I think I like this better than The Core.
Well, not exactly post-apocalyptic, but you got Volcano and Dante's Peak. come on, of like,
oh right, both them
volcanoes
have,
that are,
they both feature scenes with people having to be in standing in lava and not being able to leave.
Yeah, you know,
that's true.
What about, and like, and that's like the heart wrenching moment for both movies.
Well, there's also War of the Worlds.
Oh, that movie's great.
I love
Tom Cruise. Come on,
yeah.
That's, I think that's, in my opinion.
Oh, San Andreas. Sky Patterson mentioned San Andreas. That was actually pretty good.
That's okay.
You were like, no.
I haven't seen it.
It was better than I expected because I had low expectations. It's like, maybe it'd be.
I'm biased because I'm just, like I said before many times, I'm just sort of sick of Dwayne The Rock.
Oversaturation?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Back then, were you?
I still am. I'm retroactively upset with him.
Wow. It's maybe not like the rundown now because of that.
No, I still like it because of Sean William Scott.
What happened to that guy?
He's going to be in this season of Lethal Weapon.
Lethal Weapon.
Oh, good for him.
Check it out on the TV when it comes on.
On local cable.
That's right. My thought about the War of the Worlds, it was great until like the last third. And then when they reveal that the son's alive, and I'm like, get out of here.
Yeah.
That made me not like the movie.
It's a happy movie.
No.
It's a happy movie.
It sets it up where it should just have the courage of its convictions and just kicked it off. And I feel like it's Steven Spielberg said, like, no. The family should reunite at the end. That's what everybody wants.
I feel like it was more like a producer who did that. But nobody's also telling, produced it.
Yeah, but nobody's telling Steven Spielberg, like, yeah, Steven.
Listen, Stevie, maybe you don't know that much about movies.
Let me tell you a little thing. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're getting ready to do our box office bet. While you're in there chiming in, throwing your last votes for either Operation Finale or Kin, we will do our top five for next week. Of course, we've got the Kin coming on 2,100 screens, Operation Finale on 1,800. Do we see either of these knocking down Crazy Rich Asians? I mean, no. I'm sure Kin's probably going to take it, right? We all can agree.
Neither of them. Okay. Operation Finale might have if it would have released on a Friday. Being on a Wednesday this close to Labor Day, you know, you're going to get people who are going to see it, you know, on Wednesday and Thursday. If they stuck to a Friday release to have that Labor Day weekend in there, I feel like more people would see it.
Do you see either of these? How far do you see either of these make it into the top five?
I think Finale can get number two. I don't know about Kin, man.
I mean, it's on more screens, but I have not heard a peep about this.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like because Axel, which came out as well this past week, that tanked. It got like $2.7 million.
Yeah, absolutely tanked. Yeah. I saw one trailer for it once for a movie, and I was like, that movie looks terrible. And then I didn't see anything else for it. I didn't see any posters. I didn't see any like social media ads. Nothing.
Get that dog some oil because it's thirsty.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. There you go. And was, I think, like only on 1,800 screens, but still. I mean, it...
Still. And but like these have less than that. Well, no. Operation Finale has less. Kin is 21.
Yeah. Right. But still, I don't think... I feel like this has about the same amount of publicity. I feel like I saw more for Axel than I've ever seen for Kin.
Yeah.
I saw one for Kin, so... But it's been a while, and I can't remember if that was just browsing YouTube or just what.
Yeah. So let's see. I think my top five is going to be Crazy Rich Asians, followed by Operation Finale. And then... The Meg. I think Happy Time's going to have a huge drop, so I'm going to go to Mission Impossible. And then... then Happy Time.
So Christopher
Robin. And then Christopher
Robin. Okay.
Hmm. Well, then, you know, that would actually knock out Christopher Robin, yeah.
I feel like I'm much like you. I feel like I agree with that. And then I'm torn between... Happy Time and Christopher Robin.
Yeah, because it's really close. Because they made 10. If they lose half, they're going to make 5. But they might lose more than that. So they might make like 4 next week.
If I had to go see one of those movies, I feel like at least Winnie the Pooh is a more endearing character that you probably want to go see if you haven't seen it by this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then if Christopher Robin has like another like sub 30% loss next week, it's good. You're looking at like, you know... 3.5 million. So, depends on how bad Happy Time goes down. But I think Happy Time is going to beat out Christopher Robin just by a little bit next weekend.
Hmm. Anybody else have any differing thoughts?
Yes, I think Crazy Rich Asians, The Meg, then Operation Finale, then Kin, then Happy Time Murders.
Wow.
I'll do the same, but swap Happy Time for Mission Impossible.
I still feel like it all depends on, because the Meg, I mean, it's on,
because
oh, it's still over 4,000 screens still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Operation Finale only 1,800. I still feel like it could still, just by the sheer volume of screens, even if that drops down a little bit for next week, I still think it could beat them just mm-hmm. because of that. So I could see the Meg come in still number two and Operation Finale is number three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because also if you go to the box office and people want something new, even if they haven't heard of it, they might go see the other two. Like, oh, I haven't heard of these. Sure.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's going to say that about Ken. Ken? Really? What?
Ken?
That looks great. Like, just find the name.
Like Barbie's Ken?
All right, ladies and gentlemen. This is the time for Neil Plumley's last in-studio box office bet. So make it a good one.
It's true.
Let's send out Neil on a high note for this. So as always, folks, I will get a recap of what the deciding film is there in the chat. But we will all place our bet on what we think the opening box office total will be for the film that you select in the chat. The one that's closest will be the prognosticator, prognosticators. The loser will have to go see this film and tell us all about it.
Ken Jack says it's Kin by a vote of 3-2.
Oh, man.
People aren't even right. voting. That's how much I care about that.
All right, Kin.
Everyone's tired. Come on.
Kin, well, we 2,100 screens.
Fourth.
I'd rather see a sci-fi than whatever.
I don't think mine's on the list.
Operation Finale is.
Yeah, it just, it's had yeah. such little publicity. Yeah. I can't. Oof, I'm going to go, all right. This is going to be interesting.
Well, also, I guess the fact that our top four spot this week is, what, only 8 million? So it just has to make, like, 8.
All right.
Man, I hope this is... Okay.
Yeah, but everyone had a really easy week this week.
Is everyone thinking like below double digits? Can I get a hint?
No, they aim high. Aim
I'm thinking
high
95.
I'm closing in on triple digits, man.
No, get yeah. out of here. Yeah. Stop. Oh,
I mean, sure. there's a couple aim decimal high. Points in here, but yeah, there's okay. definitely
well,
three
that makes
digits.
Sense.
All right. Anthony, are you ready, sir?
Dang. Yeah.
Go with your gut.
I am.
Yeah. Play big.
My gut just told me 9 million.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
That's
nice.
I think that's a lot, though.
Wow.
Zias Bilou says 7 million. John Forthis says 3.5. And Sky Patterson says 5.5.
Oh, all well, right. Neil Plumber.
Oh, Tanya says 8.5.
All right.
I'm going to take the low road.
There you go.
Red 3.
Whoa!
Love it, love it. Amy Cassandra Martinez.
Dang.
5.
Whoa.
5? 9.5.
What
What's up, Tony?
Hell?
Wow. I run it at 3.5.
Whoa.
Yes.
This is a decent race.
There you go.
Oh, boy.
I like it. So yes. it's 3, 3.5, 5, 9,
and
9.5.
And 9.5, yeah. Sarah
so big
in the
old
chat
gap.
Says 8.
Oh, man. I have a feeling Carrie Lane's going to be seeing this movie.
I think I might want to see it anyway. So,
well,
so.
All right. There you go.
Yeah, I might catch it eventually.
Yeah, it looked cool from when I saw the trailer.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're rapidly reaching the end of the show. Before we go, though, just to take a moment to just say how much it's been a pleasure to have Neil Plumley be with us this whole time. From starting in the booth, making it sound great, look even better before Anthony was there, to now moving and transitioning inside the studio and being amazing as always. It's been an honor to share both the studio and the engineering booth with you. And we wish you the best of luck as you head east.
Well, thank you, Frank. I appreciate it. And I love working with all you guys. It's been a lot of fun being on the show. And I love looking. I love working with you guys who watch us every week. Thanks for coming back all the time. And like Frank mentioned earlier, this isn't the last you heard of me on Box Office Breakdown. It might be the last time you're seeing me through this camera, but we're working on something else. So stay tuned.
Absolutely. And if you're on the East Coast, you know, let Neil know, because then he can come over and he can do it live for you. Box Office Breakdown, live in your own home there on the East Coast.
Yep, we did some screen tests. Turns out the audience being surprised by me being in their home while they're in the shower does not work.
Oh.
So we're not going to do that. If you
really?
Heard about that,
I thought it was
that's not what we're doing anymore. We've changed our policy, and now it's one viewing per week, and it's $9.95.
That's right. It's almost like the Good Housekeeping, where he'll knock on your door. Instead of a big envelope, it's just going to be him with a box office chart breaking down the weekly total.
Have you seen these percentages? Have you seen these numbers yet?
Everyone's saying open the door. They're going to miss you.
Oh, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
As will I. Just saying.
Thanks, Tony.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is going to do it for us here on Box Office Breakdown. There you go. Thank you, Anthony. As always, like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. While you're there, why not give it a thumbs up? For Neil alone, give it multiple thumbs up. There you go.
This is
very sad model and thumbs up. There you
go. It's very proper.
And if you'd like to stay in touch with any of us, or possibly have Neil come to your home directly here on the East Coast. Neil, where's the best place they can find you?
Hey, guys. You can find me at places where people are found at the Neil Plumley. That includes on YouTube. I have a vlog that's going right now. It's not that great, but if you want to check it out, go for it. It's going to chronologize. It's going to chronologize.
Love it.
My word. Life and my move to Pennsylvania with my wife Alexis. So if you'd like to check that out, it's the Neil Plumley on YouTube. And stay in touch. I'm also on Twitter.
No.
Amy?
You guys can find me on all social media at Amy Cassandra MTZ on Twitter, on Instagram, also on YouTube. So follow me.
Do the hand thing.
Oh, you're
really
crap,
sad.
I'm sorry.
Really sad.
She's so sad. Okay. She's distracted.
I know. I just couldn't.
We got to do it for Neil.
Okay.
Do it for Neil.
No. On all no social pressure. Media at Amy Cassandra MTZ.
Perfect. Nailed it.
Nailed it.
Oh, we need to get that.
Nailed it.
Nice. Nailed it.
I know, right? It's like, and I had Alexis on my last show, but I'm going to see her on Tuesday, and she's not gone just yet. You can watch her on anime. And then on Tuesday, also horror movie news. Also, I'm all, yes, popcorn talk. And yes, you can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E.
Anthony, how about yourself?
There I am. Sorry. No. I'm working the buttons. You can find me everywhere at Tony B. Tony, where I'll be missing Neil.
Look at that.
Right?
But yeah.
There you go. And follow me on Twitter and Instagram, or don't. None of them do.
I do.
So, no.
I follow him on Twitter.
No, yep. That's not true. At Happy Go Jackie. Folks, it has been a pleasure to be with you this evening here. It's been a pleasure to do the show with Neil.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, as always, we will figure out a way that he will be part of the show going forward. So, until the next time, this has been Box Office Breakdown. We'll see you at the movies. Have a good time, everybody.
You're welcome.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.